Well, No Child Left Behind was written by the bureaucrats in the Education Department, not by the members of Congress.
Ronnie.
And they put in an accountability system that's incomprehensible.
Mr. Adams.
Ms. Fox, a final education question. Seems to have caught fire here. With the award of $400 million from the Obama administration's Race to the Top initiative, what would you believe would be the most effective way to use that money and why?
Well, the Race to the Top money was given to the state of North Carolina, I think, in some ways under very unusual circumstances. North Carolina was turned down for that money the first time because we had a cap on charter schools in North Carolina. Then the legislature, and I, not being in the legislature, I didn't follow this real closely, but I did notice that they then allowed some schools that were failing schools to become charter schools in order to allow the state to qualify for the Race to the Top money. I didn't study the proposal that came from North Carolina in terms of Race to the Top. But again, if you look at the history of what North Carolina's done, they've just dropped the end-of-course testing. They've just dropped most of the ways they've been evaluating teachers because most of what North Carolina has tried has failed. So I don't know exactly what North Carolina — that's really a state issue, Lonnie, because that came from the state.
I think the question would be, how would you
would,
use
would
that
I
money
spend
better?
The money more effectively?
Yeah, right.
Well, since I don't know how they're going to spend it, it's a little difficult for me to be able to say how they're going to spend it effectively. I will say that I think parents in this state should be demanding that as much as possible be done in the high schools, as much as possible college work should be done in the high schools for students who, not one, are going on to college because it will save time and money. We do have limited programs for that. And two, for students who don't want to go on to a four-year school but might want to do technical education. I think everything that we could do for students in the high schools to help them gain the skills they're going to need to compete in the world these days, that would be the way that I would use it.
I understand that teachers are the most important part of our educational system. We also need to make sure that our facilities are taken care of well, too. Watauga County just built a new high school, state-of-the-art high school, and it enables teachers to teach better and students to learn better. I think we need to maintain our facilities in our educational system, but make sure that we continue to attract the top teachers in the United States to North Carolina schools. It varies from district to district as far as affordability for teachers to move in, but teachers need to be paid a living wage and need to be that helps them do their jobs better. Also, a ratio in a class student-pupil-to-student-teacher ratio in the classroom is very important, and I think that has helped schools over time. But as I said, we need to make sure education stays a priority. Those dollars spent are the best we can do for anything.
1 minute.
All right. Mr. Kennedy, we do have several questions on illegal immigration, but I'd like to focus this question on legal immigration. What is your position on temporary visas for foreign workers and any restriction on the use of social programs and services by legal immigrants?
Well, we do have a lot of people that want to come to our country. It's the greatest country in the world. And as a report I read, 6 million Mexicans want to come here, 23 million Indians want to come here, and 25 million Chinese want to come here. So the immigration issue is a huge ongoing issue that we need to address. All of us were immigrants. All of our families came here at some point. And the strength of the United States is when we've melded all those cultures and diverse backgrounds together to make everyone part of the American dream. I think we need to keep doing that. We need to look at what we can afford and what we can offer as well. I believe that 60% of the unauthorized immigrants in the country right now came in on legal visas and have overstayed their visa requirements. I think we need to make sure and enforce the laws that are in place, and anybody who's caught violating those laws needs to be held accountable. But I also look at the great, there are different ways. This is an agricultural community. I've spoken to a lot of farmers, and they use unauthorized immigrant labor, and they need them to be able to be in the system. They need to play by the same rules as I play by. They need to pay the same taxes as I pay by, and they need to have the same workers' rights. So one thing that, as a small contractor, I understood that if a company was hiring unauthorized people and it was unfair competition for me to compete against a contractor hiring illegal immigrants. So we need to make sure to hold the employers accountable, but also realize that that's a big part of our heritage.
My understanding is that there are approximately 300 million people who would love to come to the United States if they possibly could, and certainly that's something Mr. Kennedy and I can agree on. This is the greatest country in the world, and I understand why people want to come here. I favor having visas for people who want to come here and work if they have jobs for them, and I think that they should be allowed to come here and work as long as they have a job, and I think that we should have a tracking system so that we know where they are and where they're working, and that if they stay beyond the visa, they have then broken the law, and I think they should not be allowed to come back into the country. I do not believe that anybody coming here legally to work should be given welfare. They say they're coming here to work. That's what they should do. My father's parents came here through Ellis Island. When you came in the early 1900s to this country, you had to prove that you could support yourself. You had to prove that you were healthy. You had to prove that you would not be a drain on the United States of America. That's the kind of system we should have, and that is that the people who want to come here and will contribute to our culture by working should be allowed to come. But once that work is done and their help is not needed anymore, they should go back home. There are two ways to get into this country. You get in a line to come on a temporary visa to work, or you apply to come as a citizen. Those are the two different ways that you come in, and we should maintain those.
Like I said, we all came here, and we need to make sure that the people that employ illegal immigrants are held accountable, and we need to make sure that we have the resources we need to take care of the people that are in our country so that they're not hurt and so that their lives are enriched and that they help us too.
Mrs. Fox, again. Another immigration question. How will you approach the problem of America's border issues as they relate to persons crossing into the country that intend to harm citizens, to include terrorists and also criminal gangs who engage in crimes such as drug trafficking and kidnapping of American citizens for ransom?
Well, I think we need the strongest possible enforcement on the border. I think that we should have human beings on the border protecting it. I think we should use any kind of technological devices that are available to us, cameras, mirrors, all of those kinds of things, fences where it's appropriate. We need to do everything we can. The number one role of the federal government is national security. And when you have open borders, as we do, particularly on the southern border, it's everywhere, actually, but the concerns are primarily on the southern border, then our government is not living up to its role in protecting American citizens and living up to the national security law. That's where federal dollars should be spent, is on protecting the border and providing national security. So I would do everything that we possibly can to do it, and we're not doing that now. It is not being taken seriously by this administration. The proper personnel have not been put down on that border. The people who live in the border states are suffering from that, and it's wrong because the first role of the government is to protect its citizens, and our government is not doing that.
When I'm in Congress, I hope to do a better job than the incumbents that are doing there right, that are there right now. We need to make sure that we take care. Six years she's been there. I don't know if she submitted a bill on this issue yet, but we need to make sure that we enforce all our laws and that we deal with this immigration issue, which is a growing concern in our country. We need to make sure that the people follow the rules and the laws and we know where they are. Like I said, I believe 60% of the people illegally in the country right now came in on visas, not through the Mexican border. On the other hand, we've got employers that are continuously hiring people. So our border says has two signs. One says job help wanted, and the other says stay away. So we've got a mixed message being sent here by our country, and we need to make sure that people know that they need to follow the law, they need to apply for their visas, and they need to follow the rules when they're here.
My opponent sounds like our president. He likes to fix blame, but he doesn't want to talk about fixing the problem. We can help employers who are employing people who shouldn't be here legally by making sure that the system that is being used is accurate for them. The E-Verify system is not working for most employers. We need that fixed. If employers hire illegals knowingly, they definitely should be punished. But many employers are hiring people based on papers given to them that they believe to be authorized.
One follow-up to both of you on this. What you both mentioned employers hiring illegal immigrants. What type of punishments would you see that should be brought down on these folks when they're caught doing this? And I believe you have 1 minute apiece for response, correct? Yes. Mr. Kennedy first.
You need to make sure the punishment, the financial punishment is more than the benefit they're getting from hiring these people. We need to make sure that it's not in their incentive. In the past, when we've had fines that are smaller than the gain that the companies have and the corporations make off doing breaking the law, it doesn't work. So we need to make sure the fines are appropriate so that they understand when you do this, you won't come out ahead. You won't pay a small fine and get off. So I think that's the appropriate level.
And we can save some time on this question because I agree with Mr. Kennedy on that. It should cost them.
All right. Very well. Moving on to your final immigration question. This goes to Mr. Kennedy. The numbers of illegal immigrants in this country is really an unknown figure. There are estimates that are made, but no one knows for sure. But we can agree that it's a large number. Given the expense and bureaucracy it would take to round all these folks up and move them back out of the country wherever they go, would you support any type of legislation that would give any current illegal immigrants in this country legal status, and why?
Well, once again, I've spoken and listened to. I've been all over the district over the last 12 months and listened to all the constituents of the 5th District. And one concern I've heard over and over again from the large farmers is that they have people that have been here for 20 years doing a great job and serving and playing by the rules, and now they're criminals because their status has changed since they've been here. So I do believe that we need to have a path to citizenship for some immigrants who are in the country. Now, how you determine which ones are following the rules and which ones aren't is a tricky question. But you look at how they've been working, whether they have a criminal record, what their status is, and who brought them in here, and what their work history is as well. So I do believe that people that came here under different rules need to be addressed, need to be given the opportunity to get in line and become citizens. Now, what I hear is a lot of them don't want to be citizens. They want work permits so they can move back and forth. And we have a great need for farm workers, that those jobs are not being filled by other people. And we need to make sure we don't break our economy while we're trying to do this. But we need to be not taking American jobs away from Americans by letting those people stay here.
I don't remember. Mr. Kennedy said a little bit ago that he didn't know whether I was on any legislation related to illegal or legal immigrants. I'm on lots of legislation that has to do with illegals in the country. I can't remember all the bill numbers, but I do have a lot of bills that I'm on. As I said earlier, there are two ways to come into this country. One is if you want to come here temporarily and work, and the other is to become a citizen. And for some people, to become a citizen, it gets very expensive and takes a very long time. What I would do with the people who are here illegally now, once we find them, and some of this is being done already, ICE deports those who are criminals. I definitely think we should be doing that, and we should do more of it. I think that ultimately there will be some people who probably will be offered the opportunity to go home and to sign up for work programs. But I don't believe that anybody who came to this country illegally should ever be given a path to citizenship while they're under that status. That is wrong. What makes this country great is the rule of law. What these people are escaping in most cases is not just poverty. They're escaping poverty, but they're escaping corruption. They live in countries that are totally corrupt and where even smart, hardworking people cannot make it. And they come here because they know that's what we have. If we reward illegal behavior in any way, whether it's illegal immigrations or people robbing banks, then we undermine the rule of law. We undermine the rule of law, we'll become just like these other countries. We have three things that make us great, in my opinion. The rule of law, our capitalistic society, and our Judeo-Christian beliefs. But capitalism and our ability to worship as we choose will be undermined if we undermine the rule of law. That is the standard.
I agree that the rule of law is critical, too. And those laws are written and changed and decided by the legislature. And we need to make sure they are current to our times and are applicable to our needs of our society and our economy. I, too, believe, just as Representative Fox said, that people that are here legally should not be able to stay here. But in the meantime, we need to know how to deal with these people, and we need to make sure that it's an immigration question for the federal government, not the local police jurisdictions.
This question goes back to Mrs. Fox. I'm the lucky one tonight. What is your position on the issue of abortion in Roe versus Wade? And would you introduce or support any legislation to challenge the Supreme Court's ruling in the matter?
I am a pro-life person. I am a total pro-life person. I've been endorsed by National Right to Life, by Susan B. Anthony Group. I believe, again, this is primarily a state issue. It is not, I believe, a federal issue. It should be decided by the states. But I do not believe in abortion at any stage of a pregnancy. And I can't tell you the bills that I am on, but I am on several bills already dealing with right to life issues.
The Supreme Court has ruled on this. Speaking of rule of law, we're back to that point.
All
until that law is changed, that's the law of the land, and we need to protect everybody's rights under the rule of law in this country. The key to avoiding abortion is taking care of, is education and taking care of these people's lives so they don't get to that point where that's their only option. So I'm all for all types of alternative to avoid abortion as much as possible, but it is the rule of law from the Supreme Court right now, and this is the United States, and we do follow the rule of law here.
I hope my opponent was not implying that I didn't support the decisions made by the Supreme Court, because nothing in my answer indicated that.
All right. We will move on to your next question, and this goes to Mr. Kennedy. What changes, if any, would you make to the Affordable Health Care for America Act, and are you in favor of having a public option placed into it at some point in time?
I believe health care is critical. I've got a pair of my friends, 32% of the people in Watauga County don't have health insurance currently. I've got a couple who were both in their 40s, both working, both insured. She had a brain tumor. Within 4 years, their 20% was over $400,000. This is an amount they'll never be able to pay back. They're bankrupt because of an illness that had nothing to do with that was unavoidable for them. So I do believe that the money's in the system. We do need to take care of our citizens. Health care is important. If you look at the long-term health care costs, keeping people in the system and making sure that they have access to doctors early on before chronic conditions become much worse is the best way we can save money down the road. I would support an optional Medicare buy-in at cost, which would be revenue neutral for the government, and I believe that would be a way that I could personally, as a small businessman and been self-insured, I've watched my rates go up 10-20% a year for 10 or 15 years, and I'd like to have some competition in the health insurance business. So I do believe that's one way we can make that better. That may be a different term than the public option, but optional Medicare cost of buy-in is what I support.
Well, I'm on record of voting against the health care bill and on repealing it. I will continue to do everything that I can to see that bill repealed. It is a loss of freedom for the American people. I hope you won't penalize me for that time. What we need are common sense solutions. Republicans introduced bills that Democrats would not vote for, particularly in the Senate. We passed several bills in the House, even after I'd gotten to Congress. We need for people to be able to, we can have a competition for insurance. All we have to do is allow insurance companies to for people to buy insurance across state lines. They're not able to do that now. When you buy car insurance, you can buy it anywhere you want to. When you buy homeowners insurance, you can buy it from any place you want to. But we restrict people on buying health insurance. They must buy it within their state. That's wrong. We need to have association health plans where people can go together to be able to pool and get a better rate for insurance. You know, I said earlier I grew up in a very deprived situation, and yet my family could afford health care. When I was growing up in Avery County, which had a couple of hospitals, we could afford it, but we were very poor. What's made health care so expensive? is the federal government getting involved and taking control?
On behalf of the MOAA, I'd like to ask if we could maintain a sense of decorum that applause is certainly welcome, but please, please let's try to reduce or eliminate the verbal outbursts. Thank you. What? Our freedom depends on a lot of things, and what could be more central to maintaining our freedom than our health? And our health is, we need to look at how we're staying healthy, what's making us sick. We need to make companies that are producing carcinogens accountable. We need to look at the overall picture of our health, and that is a crucial freedom to Americans, the right to good health and long lives. And I'm worried that we're going to lose that if we don't make health care affordable for everybody, not just a few.
All right, candidates, we are going to move into national defense, but before we do that, I wanted to remind our audience that while we do appreciate your enthusiasm, our candidates are restricted to a pretty close time that they are allowed to answer in, a 90-second first answer with a 60-minute rebuttal and then a 60-second rebuttal. They would say it's 60 minutes, I'm sure, and a 30-second final statement by the person the question was to. So if you would please try to refrain from outbursts so that our candidates can get their answers in there a lot of time, I'm sure everyone would appreciate it. So,
and we would also ask the candidates to abide by the
96. yes, as well. All right. First question coming up for defense and national security. This goes to, I believe, where are we at? Mrs. Fox. Military and dual-use technology from the United States has ended up everywhere from improvised explosive devices in Iraq to Chinese military installations. All, at the same time, defense contractors and many of our allies are pressing for looser restrictions on the export of such technology. What, if anything, would you recommend the U.S. do to resolve this issue?
Well, I am not in favor of our sharing technology that we have spent a lot of money to develop in this country and which is really very, very important to our national security, except with our very closest allies. And I think that under the Clinton administration, a lot of technology was shared with the Chinese, which should not have been shared. So I would keep the technology that we pay for and that we develop in this country as close to us as we possibly can.
We look at we're the number one arms sales, largest arms seller in the world. A lot of incumbent congressmen, congresspeople, are taking donations from large defense corporations to make the laws work to their advantage. I think one of the big problems we have in Washington right now is corporate, effective large corporate money in Washington, and that money is coming from defense contractors as well. My campaign, I've raised over, the money I've raised has been from over 2,000 individual donors, and my opponent has taken a lot of money from corporate PACs. When those corporations give you that money, they expect something in return, and those rules are being written to help those corporations. I believe this is a good example of where our laws, that we're being, American lives are being hurt by laws written for the advantage of corporations. People are more important than corporations, and I believe we need to make sure that accountability gets to Washington.
I read an article in the Madison Messenger a few days ago that was about the questions that have been submitted to each one of us to answer, and I'd answered my questions, but I read Mr. Kennedy's responses, and I think what he just said was like most of the responses that he had to that article. He really doesn't answer the question, and he goes off on a tangent on something else. Most of the I'm not on armed services, and I don't know if I even get anything from any military contractors in terms of PAC money, but almost most of my money comes from individuals also. I don't raise money in the defense industry, and I probably have one of the lowest rates of PAC money other than people who eschew all PAC money, so I'm not sure why I went off on that tangent, but I'll just make that comment.
All right. Thank you.
I do believe that there is a fair amount of corporate PAC money in my opponent's fundraising. This is public information once you put it out there, and I do believe in transparency in the government. When you look, follow the money trail and see where the money is going and how it's affecting people's votes in Congress. And we need new people in Congress who are not beholden to those corporate interests.